It's me, Mario. Hello.
Hey, I see it again. Play my own car.
Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo 64, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet.
That it is.
And like the new plan, we're going to talk about Nintendo 64 games.
Oh, right.
And we do this sort of semi-chronologically as they came out 21 years ago, because they are now the legal drinking age. Speaking of drinking, Ryan, what you got? I think we talked about that one before.
Actually, I brought over so many beers now. We need to drink them now. I introduced you to some newer beers. But yeah, so.
Okay.
I'll leave the audience with bated breath as to what I am drinking.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I think you talked about that one last podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, not last podcast, the one before, because last podcast was just...
You did by yourself, which was really lonely.
Well, me and Wes did one, and then I was an idiot, didn't press the save button, then we had a power outage.
Oh no! My phone's not quiet.
You gotta fix it, right?
Sure. I'll mute my phone right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, shut up. All right, you got my attention now.
But, yeah, I forgot to hit the save button, and we had a power outage. So,
wait, is that show gone?
That show was gone.
What show?
The show where we talked about Xenoblade for an hour.
Are you kidding me?
It was really good.
It's for the best, everybody.
So we gotta do the show again, man.
No, not
we,
with
we,
me,
we
not
do,
tonight.
We could do another show another time where we talk about Xenoblade a lot.
Yeah, we'll do a Xenoblade show, you and me.
Okay.
And we'll make Ryan sit in the corner.
But what we don't do on the Nintendo 64 is talk about Xenoblade, because we're talking about Nintendo 64 games.
Although, I do have Xenoblade stuff to talk about.
That's tonight you don't.
Not tonight I don't.
Maybe we do an After Dark.
We'll talk about the N64 Xenoblade.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that one. Let me know how that one's going.
But what we're going to start doing on this show is when we talk about these games as they come up chronologically, we're going to slot them into a ranking. And what we have to do really quick is just decide on what the current ranking is through the seven games we've talked about. And then we're talking about Doom 64, and then we'll slot that in somewhere. So,
sure. The
games we've talked about so far, and we're not gonna rank a games that we've never discussed or played. That's fine.
Yeah, because at this point, there's probably been about 40 releases, maybe 30 or 40 releases in America.
13.
North America?
13.
That's it? Seriously?
In 6 months, yeah, 13.
There's been more than that, but okay. I trust your judgment.
We're working off the list that I was able to verify with a couple different sources, but...
My list is actually mostly being derived from Wikipedia. Wikipedia has a chronology of the N64. Which I think works pretty well early on, at least, because, you know, there's...
It's fairly reliable through Wikipedia, because this is... We're getting into, like, the console generations for video games where there are intended release dates and street dates, and there are... You know, we have, like, the birth of that thing called the internet, which is becoming more popular, so people are able to track these things.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so far the games we've talked about, Mario 64, Pilot Wings 64, Wave Race 64, Mario Kart 64, Killer Instinct Gold, Blast Corps, and Turok. So, I think we have a very clear number 1 and number 7 right now. It's Mario 64 at number 1 and Turok at number 7.
Yeah, I would lobby for Blast Corps being higher, or Blast Corps being higher on the list.
Okay.
I think that was a pretty cool game.
Well, let's talk about like Killer Instinct Gold, because it's one that's not a first-party game. Like, yeah. What did you guys think of that one?
It's fine.
Okay.
You know, there's like three other 2D fighters that came out this year for this console. Like, just from looking at the list, there's one that literally comes out next month we should probably talk about.
Okay.
Called, I think, it's, I want to say it's Near Dark? Near Dark is a movie that Catherine Bigelow made.
Okay.
So it may not be that, but there's it's like a two word. I feel like it's called Near Dark or something like that. But it's just another fighter. I feel like much like the game we're going to talk about today, I feel like the console got glutted with 2D fighters, including they released some sort of Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah, Kombat Trilogy was on the system.
That's already come out by now. Yeah. So
just for point of reference, we're talking about games up through April of 1997.
Yes.
Is where we're at.
See.
Okay, so you're lobbying pretty good for
Blast
Corps. I feel
like Blast Corps needs to be in the top three.
I like Blast Corps as well. Do we think that anything like Pilot Wings 64 we thought pretty highly of?
I like that a lot.
But
that's a glorified tech demo.
I don't think that deserves to be higher than Blast Corps. I would probably put Pilot Wings underneath. And I liked Wave Race. I think I got a grasp of the mechanics. It just kind of clicked with me a little bit.
I was
more
down on it, but I played so little of it, I feel like you should...
Okay.
You deserve it. If you say it's a good game, I trust your judgment.
Wes, do you have thoughts on Pilot Wings Wave Race Blast Corps.
Pilot Wings I saw nothing of.
Okay.
So I have no idea what this game even looks like. Never played it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wave Race, I'm terrible at it, so...
Okay. I think it's an
whatever.
Easy game.
I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust your judgment on that. And Blast Corps, I'm blanking on that one.
Okay. That's all right.
I'm so helpful for this podcast.
No, because
I'm best.
I'm about to ask you about Mario Kart 64, because that's a game you
Ooh,
like.
That's a game.
Now that's Ryan's main complaint, is that's not a precision race.
I went hard after it, but I'm not saying it's the worst game ever. I actually think it's
a
fine
game.
It's
a party
game.
It's different. It's not going to be a game you sit there and you play hours and hours by yourself. It's a game you sit there going, having an argument with your roommate going, let's sell this in Mario Kart. Like, it's it's one of those kind of things.
But would you guys put it above or below Wave Race?
Above Wave Race.
Oh,
yeah.
Me too. I would put it above that.
I probably clocked more time in Wave Race, but I'm not going to fight that. That's fine with me.
Oh, I put so many hours into Mario Kart as a kid. Dear God.
So, are you comfortable putting Mario Kart at number two, or is Blast Corps a better game than Mario Kart?
No, I won't trust your judgment on that, because I don't know Blast Corps.
I really, I think Blast Corps deserves to be put above it, personally.
Okay. What about Pilot Wings? Is Pilot Wings
I think that's our four. I think that's our four.
Okay.
I think, it's Mario 64. It's pretty obvious, number one. I like the idea of Blast Corps. Then we say Mario Kart, just because of the nostalgia factor, and the fact that it is like a long-running series of games. And then Wave Race.
Wave Race and Killer Instinct? Killer Instinct below Wave Race, you think?
Yeah.
I'd probably say
that. Pilot Wings on four, though.
Right.
After Mario Kart. Then
right.
Wave Race and Killer.
So right now our 1 through 7, Mario Kart 64, Blast Corps, Mario 64, not Mario Kart 64. Mario 64 at number 1, Blast Corps at number 2, Mario Kart at 3, Pilot Wings at 4, Wave Race at 5, Killer Instinct at 6, and Turok at 7.
For those of you listening and being confused with the past 10 minutes, we are ranking them as we go.
Yeah.
Adjusting the list as we
start
talking about
this is going to be our baseline. Now when we talk about games, we're going to slot them in here. And these ones, like 6 months from now, we're not going to say, you know what, Mario Kart should be above Blast Corps. Like, Blast Corps is better than Mario Kart. We are scientifically proving it right now. It is set in stone.
It's a scientific fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
we're doing this very scientifically.
Yeah. Well, it's easier if, like, because you know Top Gear, how they do that. Have you ever watched Top Gear?
No.
The British show about cars?
No.
You hear the British one's better than the American one.
Oh, it's way better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, they do this, they give them basically just a standard economy car. Like, I'm sure it's like a, what are the Toyota, like a Toyota Camry or something like that. And they put them on this test track, and then they make them race. And then they have this big leaderboard for the season of how everyone's times were. So, and you get professional Formula One racers on there. You get Rupert Grint, whatever his name is, the guy that plays Ron Weasley, he was a guest on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's random.
Yeah. And one of the funniest things that ever happened was that movie that came out a few years ago called Night and Day. I don't know if you remember it. It's the one's got Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Terry Diaz. Oh, yeah.
Dear God.
They appeared on it. And they did their time trials, right? And they did Cameron Diaz first, and she crushed. She, like, not only had the, like, we're doing this, like, billboard listing. Her time was, like, she way above the second place guy who was, in fact, a Formula One racer.
That's amazing.
Like, she just fucking took it to the course. Only, and the reason why she went first is because Tom Cruise went second. And he beat her by, like, a solid couple of seconds, too.
Huh.
Like, he just, and they made it a point. They're like, we do our own stunts. We're hard asses. We're going to come on here and we're going to beat you fucking British people up at your own stupid racing. To the point.
Good. We found something that they can do and get out of our movies. Finally. That's.
Well, Tom Cruise literally got the car on two wheels at one point. he was serious.
Goddamn.
Yeah, he was taking this crazy turn and he literally got two tires off the ground. And even they were like freaking out about it. They were like, okay, we get it. We get it, Tom Cruise. Your action deck is bigger than ours. It's like, oh my God. But yeah, so that's what we're making, right? This is going to be our N64 list.
Right. And so when we're done talking about Doom 64, we're going to figure out where in the list it goes.
So I should talk to Jeremy and get this like list on the website and constantly changing as we're coming out.
Sure, that'd be fun.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. And I think maybe after that, you could probably, once we actually have a nice bevy of games in this list, we can do a sort of a breakdown of like guaranteed classics, must-owns, like
Yeah.
Way overachievers, underachievers, trash. Like, however we want to bring it down.
Yeah. And trash starts at Turok.
I think so.
Or maybe it ends with Turok. Who knows if this game will climb the list at all.
Gosh.
But we're good because it's, I think they're the first first-person shooter that appeared on the system, but Doom 64 wasn't too far behind.
Yeah.
And it's not a different version of Doom, but a new Doom.
Precisely.
That invented the first-person genre.
It is Doom 64.
Yeah.
Actually, and I think that's probably a great way to look at it, is that the 64 is a really relevant part. It is as much Doom as it is Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually took the time to break down the chronology of what I think is important relative to the game. If you mind if I read
through this? Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, the first game, and these aren't all going to be about Doom. It's Wolfenstein 3D. It came out in May of 1992, which is way back.
Yeah.
And why am I bringing that up? It's because it is the core development trio of McCormack, Romero, and Scott Hall. These are the three guys that are pretty much the people that made id Software and Doom happen. And Wolfenstein 3D, it's a fun, classic game,
yeah,
right?
You're still just making Wolfenstein games.
Sure.
And they're a lot of fun.
Mowing down Nazis. It's a,
yeah.
It's everything you would want the game to be. On MS-DOS. Then, a year and a half later, they came out with Doom. Which is, of course, the iconic, the true, like, first-person shooter. I actually found this great thing where, around 1997, like, just by going off of searches, of the search engines of the time, people stopped calling them Doom clones and started actually referring to what we now call as first-person shooters.
Right, for about, I think Doom was 1993, for that four-year period. It's kind of like how we refer to like a Souls-like game at this point, like a Dark Souls game.
Yeah, sure.
It was that way for Doom. It wasn't a first-person shooter. It was a Doom-like.
Yeah. So September of 1994, so less than a year later, Doom 2 comes out for MS-DOS. September 30, my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but 1994. And Doom 2 was a wonderful game.
But you were not born in 1994.
No, 1983.
Hmm.
So, to give that...
So, you were around.
Yeah, I was in the wind, man. I was
like,
it.
Hey, happy birthday to me. Here's a new Doom.
I was playing these games on DOS when I was a kid. Like, I love these games.
I think it is important to note that when Doom was released, it was released as shareware. And
yes.
I think it was a three parts.
Mm-hmm.
And what you would do is, you know, you could get, like, basically the first part for free and then pay for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until maybe Doom, I think it was Doom Gold. I don't know, maybe you have that in your history, where you actually got, like, the full game.
Hmm. No, I didn't pay it down retail. Like that. But I know that is sort of how it works. And that's kind of the big, I actually want to talk about the sales of this game when we're kind of, at some point. And I think that this game's legacy in a lot of ways is crippled by its poor sales.
Hmm.
And because of the fact that it was so prolifically traded around, not really purchased outright like a normal cartridge of a game would be.
Yeah.
Well, how do you look at sales back then when it comes to video games? Because they're not as gigantic as they are today. So how do you do comparison with sales when...
Do you want to just get down to brass tacks? Can I tell you the thing that I figured out about it, which is fucking so sad? What do you think as a franchise, Doom, what sales... franchise.
Oh, I can't begin to guess. I have no idea.
Just like as a framing device.
Perspective. The franchise of Pokemon has 300 million sales.
Hmm. Maybe a bit of a close comparison. I think Resident Evil has done 20 million.
It's substantially less than that. Doom,
yeah.
8 million.
Hmm.
It. Pokemon Black and White sold 15 million copies.
Yep.
There are
the fifth gen is so good.
it's a measure of how you had to buy a cartridge to play the game back then.
Yeah.
And this game was just given away like it was fucking candy. Like, this game was so heavily pirated.
Yeah.
That it really does hurt those sales numbers. But and again, and this is across all of these different platforms. They released this thing across like so many different platforms.
Yeah, it was released quite a number of times on different, not only the PC, but I think they did a PS1 version.
Mm-hmm.
As well, yeah, this thing made it to a bunch of different platforms.
Okay, next on my list, again, we're not leaving the PC yet, so we're still on MS-DOS. Hexen, again, with id Software. And again, their attempt to make fantasy. Like, it's there's not really guns in this, it's all spells and magic. But Hexen came out in October of 95, so it's a little over a year later.
Then...
So that's still a first-person shooter, though, right?
Yeah, it's still essentially...
And I believe at this point they're still using the same engine that they used to make Doom in 1993.
Yes.
Which was
a big chart. It's the most confusing thing ever, but there's this big chart of engines that exists with all the different derivations.
That sounds pretty cool. First-person shooter with spells? That's different.
Oh, it's great. Actually, in 2 months we'll be able to talk about it, because it also came out on the...
Yeah, it's
64.
I did not know that.
Yeah, like, id and Nintendo had a thing going.
It'll be interesting to see if Hexen is the same version as the PC, because I'd always thought that Doom 64 was just Doom on the Nintendo 64, but they made a new game, again, using that same engine that they used in 1993. They were using it in 1997. But it's an interesting engine. There's a couple of videos on YouTube that do a pretty decent job of showing like the sort of technological trickery that they're using, because Doom...
The how they kind of cheat you on there being a vertical axis.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you don't get slopes. There are no inclined planes. When you need to like change your vertical height or lower it, you're always using stairs. And that's because they're using a sort of cheat in order to... stack things to trick you into be like being in a fully 3D environment.
Yeah, like when you're seeing an image wrapped around your eyes, like an IMAX screen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that they're essentially doing the same thing to create this false verticality.
Yeah. So, and it's a really, really interesting technique that they're using. It's a really nice trickery to invent a genre.
It's McCormack, the dude is a genius. Like, give him credit. He is like the brainchild of the first person shooter. Oh, by the way, Call of Duty has like 400 million sales. Fucking insane. Came out in 2000. The first Call of Duty game came out in 2003.
Grand Theft Auto 5, just the one game, is going to reach 100 million copies.
Oh, yeah, that's nuts.
I think they crossed 90 million recently.
Yeah.
So.
Oh,
it was fine. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I don't know how it's still getting this kind of sales.
Oh, it's insane.
It's kind of a sandbox game. It's so much like post-game content where you just sort of like...
Yeah, and
I know my buddies would spend hours just doing like friggin'... biplane races with guns and shit.
And it's so ubiquitous because it's just kind of like the staple game that someone who can just like be really casual into video games, like, oh, I want to buy a video game console and I want to get it for Grand Theft Auto, and then that's the game they play. You know, it's...
This is my Grand Theft Auto console.
Yeah.
This is my Call of Duty console.
Yeah, it's great. It's Grand Theft Auto and Madden. You know, there are some people who play video games that way, and it's fine. Like,
well, I played a lot of it up until Vice City. Like, I had... even on PC, I played the first two Grand Theft Auto games. I had, I think, a PlayStation 2 at that time, so I had Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City. Love the games to death. I just never really played San Andreas or anything thereafter.
Hmm.
And they've released so many games.
So anyway, we kind of got into a Grand Theft Auto tangent.
Yeah, next game on my list here to talk about. So in December of 1995, if you want the original Doom on a Nintendo property, Doom SNES came out, which actually is pretty much a straightforward port.
Okay.
I remember, it's not a game I ever owned on cartridge, but it was one of those ones that I would rent from from Blockbuster occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just like...
Just something only old people say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to work for Blockbuster.
Sure did.
But no, it's a game that you can play in any capacity. You can literally load it on a website and play it right now if you want to play the old Doom. It's such a wonderful, simple game. And, yeah, if you really do want to play that, you've got it for your Super Nintendo. Feel free to go nuts.
It's one of the reasons, and just take this tangent again, I love sites like Good Old Games, because they actually do offer a way that you can play these games on more modern hardware. You don't have to find like a DOS emulator or anything like that. You can.
Mm-hmm.
I think these things are constantly on sale. Like, I get emails from Good Old Games all the time. Hey, games on your wish list are on sale. Come get Total Annihilation for $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus, I'd spend 20 hours playing that game. $1.50.
So when are you going to cut us in on that Good Old Games money you're getting?
Never.
You huckster.
Never.
I mean, I still haven't seen a dime of the Amazon money. I mean, what the hell?
You never will.
Yeah.
And you never will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to Walmart's, Walmart's online store now. That's like a big thing.
Oh.
It's all about Walmart.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That place is a fucking cult.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, did you get your blood? Did you do the blood oath yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. It'll be painful at first, but then you'll start to like it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it, like, do anything to me? Like, it's...
And not when you're awake.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, the listener doesn't need to hear all this.
Okay. Spoilers.
Okay. So next on my list is another game that's sort of iconic as a Doom clone, Duke Nukem 3D.
Hmm.
Came out in January of 1996, so that is...
Was that literally also in software?
No, this is just another game that's aping their style.
Gotcha.
And trying to do so with more, I guess, humor? More levity? Mm. More like...
More irreverence, perhaps?
Yes, very good. Very good use of the word irreverence. And then, of course, the fucking game, and we should probably stop with that and move to the N64 after mentioning this, Quake.
Mm-hmm.
In June 1996, which is just, oh, it's like the holy grail of the first-person shooter. It is such a wonderful game. And now we get to the N64, and why I think Doom 64 suffered. Because Turok, February 1997.
And there was a lot of hype around that game.
Yeah.
Like,
so next
a weird amount of hype around the game.
Yeah, I just remember playing it a little bit and not knowing what the hell was going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't think it's a very well...
I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Like, it's... I just kept dying. Just, all right, and I'm dead.
It's like, are you my friend? Oh, no, you're attacking me.
My face is
and actually, our friend Jason, who's in the Discord group with us, uh-huh. he sent me messages like, hey, I listened to your show. You guys are really mean to Turok, and we're sorry. Like, we were mean to Turok. Deserved it a little bit.
Yeah, I think the Turok...
Sorry, not sorry.
Just, I guess. I mean...
I got
keep... It's like how I feel about ukulele. Like, if people like ukulele, that's fine. There's things to like about ukulele. There are things to like about Turok. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Okay, so that happened. And then literally a month later, coming out with Doom 64, which has probably a negative connotation because everyone's like, oh, I just got Doom for my freaking Super Nintendo, or I've had Doom for 3 years, you know? When it's like, no, this is Doom 64. This deserves to be thought of as its own entity. It's not like it's part of this other stuff.
One other thing about Turok before we actually get full into Doom. Our friend Jason did let me know there is a map in Turok that you can have like overlay the screen, which would be hugely helpful in that game.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not done. I got like 8 more games to go through.
Okay.
Just to get us to where we are.
But
like,
your point about Doom, I think, is correct. I think that there is a perception that still lingers. Like, it's still... I think widely perceived that Doom 64 is Doom ported rather than like this is a new...
Again, and that is Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
If you want the port, just straight up port of Doom, the Super Nintendo can run it 10 times over. Like, it's not a complex game.
Yeah, the game takes like 8 megabytes of RAM to run.
Yeah.
Like 8 megabytes. Like, that's tiny.
So, yeah. So, so you're that consumer. It's like the console just came out. You already got Turok. Why do you need Doom? And then 2 months later, May 1997... Hexen got ported.
Hmm.
Yep. And then, 3 months later, one of the games that will likely make the Pantheon, GoldenEye, comes out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, a month later, Duke Nukem 64 comes out. You literally have, like, 5 first-person shooters come out for this console in the course of
8 months. 5 recognizable and... probably all 5 of those with a good amount of fanfare and hype.
Yeah, totally. So Doom just gets... absolutely abandoned, lost in the shuffle here. It's kind of sad. And then to round out the list.
And I think like part of that is the sort of like technological prowess that they were showing off with something like GoldenEye or Turok. Like those are games actually using polygons, whereas Doom, they were still using that same engine that they're using in 1993. So it's using
with
trickery.
A ton of polish.
Right.
Give them credit. This looks better.
But what I do
than
think,
these other games.
Right, and that's where I was going with this, is where you do have this game that seems like it would be inferior to games using polygons that are going to like are releasing before and after it, but over the test of time, I've watched video. I've played Turok. I've watched video of Doom 64. I've played GoldenEye. Doom 64 visually holds up better.
Yeah, and there's a rush to exploit the technology. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got this new. They've got this new toy.
Yeah,
they should
be trying to.
Yeah. And let me just round out. So you're. Now, just, okay, 2 more months down the line, December 1997, Quake 2 comes out for MS-DOS. Quake itself, the original Quake, which is now at this point about a year and a half old, in March of 1998, comes out on the N64. Half-Life comes out in November 1998, because you fucking jizz all over yourself. Quake 2 then comes out on the N64 in May 1999. We'll talk about that in like 2 years.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So, I mean, again, this is just a glut of first-person shooters that are coming out on not only PC, But N64, if you liked first-person shooters or you continue to like them, this is a golden age for you. This three-year period from, like, 1993 to 1997, 3 or 4 year period, you were in heaven. There's so many great games.
And you can even extend it into 1998. Like, then you get the holy grail that is Half-Life.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And you know Gabe Newell behind Valve? He worked on the port of Doom to the N64.
Or the new Doom that they made on the N64.
Or, no, which one was
it? Or the port of the Super Nintendo?
I'm going to look this up just to make sure. He worked with porting games to the N64 from id Software.
And I think id Software worked a lot with Midway. I think Midway was publishing their games.
Because that's who it was. He was working with Midway, I guess. So, at any rate, so that's our little chronology. I just wanted to work through that really quick to just explain where id Software was, where they're going, and how we find ourselves with Doom 64 that is not even Doom.
Right. Exactly. It is not the same Doom.
Yeah.
It is a new game because and I think it has like 31 chapters, 31 levels, some of them very, very lengthy. At the time, not considered a technically impressive game, but because of the techniques and the trickery they're using, it holds up a bit better, like I mentioned before. And I'm not sure if they're using, like, I don't think they're using polygons for the enemies. I think they might still be using sprites.
Nope. It's all sprites. You're right. And, and you notice that when you get up close to them. Mm-hmm. And, like, you've got one of those, Eye of the Beholder dudes on top of you. And he's, like, just sort of like this big pixel wall.
Yeah.
You know, that is the one limitation of the game, which has always been the limitation of Doom, is that you don't really have that true use of a Y-axis where you have kind of, you can just simply look around, which is something that we take for granted now in a lot of games, but, you know, being able to just fully, you know, now Doom is in VR.
Yeah.
Like, which is unreal to think, like, you know, no pun intended, but, like, you can now look around and just see everything that's happening. It's the future, I guess, in a weird way.
I want to try this VR, though. I have a PlayStation, and they have Skyrim VR. Oh. So I'm like,
yes, that's what you need, another version of Skyrim. That's exactly what you should be doing.
I've done it. My buddy has the VR.
Is it good?
It's cool, because, like, literally, if you want to shoot a bow and arrow, he's doing, like, the stealthy build. So if you want to shoot a bow and arrow...
The broken build.
He's like, bam. Like, you literally do this maneuver with the sticks. Like, you're literally, like, flinging arrows at stuff. It's really fun. It takes a long time to get used to the controls, and I almost fell down a bunch.
Oh, nice.
Because it's very...
You need to actually, like, sit down when you do this, because if you're standing, you're going to completely, like, lose your shit. Like, it's...
Well, my buddy does this thing, and it made sense when I saw him set it up. He has, like, one of those, like, a tiny little fan, and he just has it, like, set to blow air, and you can kind of feel it on your arm. So it's sort of like when you are feeling the game, you can feel a little touch of wind hitting you, and you kind of can center yourself with that. So even though you're in this game, and it's, like, it's easy to get lost and start to want to, like, actually walk around, it hits you, and you kind of know that you're not going to fall over.
Hmm.
Maybe you should just be on a treadmill.
I guess. Maybe it's like a Ready Player One.
Yeah, exactly. Just have one of those treadmills that move in all directions.
The Jamiroquai.
Yeah. That makes sense. Did you see the movie yet?
Yeah.
Why don't we save Ready Player One for an After Dark if we feel like keep on going today? I have been listening to this podcast that...
I listened to it too. Go on.
I have never had less interest in a property. From what they've been saying and, like, passages they've been reading from this, and I use this word loosely, book, this weird abortion of literature.
Okay, you're talking about the Riff Tracks podcast, right? There are 300-something pages I can't take back.
372 pages I can never get back, yeah.
They are cold, cynical men that are funny, but cold and cynical.
I feel like you really need to just.
I think that's the problem is that you're getting.
He's not gonna actually read the book.
No. So
your opinion has already been corrupted.
I got totally turned off when they read about this passage. Like it's in like the it was in the first podcast. It was like in the first chapter where he gets into some sort of nerd argument with his friend H. And he wins the nerd argument, and there's an audience that applauds him. I'm like, how fucking navel-gazy bullshit is this? Are you expect people to be impressed by your ability to recite knowledge back at them? And this seems to be prevalent throughout the entire book. Like, look how much trivia I know about shit. And people are supposed to, like, look at you as a leader because you know this?
True.
Like,
well, did you hear that?
Like, what the fuck kind of character are you?
I think maybe you told me this. There's an Onion joke about it, or like it's like an Onion style joke where they're like the Ready Player One, the sequel, will require the main character to recite the script from Ready Player One.
No, I don't.
That's really good.
mom.
I thought that was really cute.
No, and I have no stomach for the sort of like references for the sake of references. They run another thing where like they like he said, oh, we did a fist bump like the Wonder Twins, and it was apropos of nothing. It was we did a fist bump. They did it too.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to the next list of bullshit from the '80s that I love. Like,
yeah,
I have no interest in any of this.
Fair point. Okay, but I did find out how Gabe Newell is.
Oh, yes, please.
You people have no soul.
So, no, you've sold yours to the 1980s. You were born in 89, motherfucker.
88.
Jesus Christ.
So, what Gabe Newell's main role was actually getting Doom and Quake onto not just PC, but onto Windows, the platform Windows 95. That's kind of where he comes into play. Which was a big thing, like, from doing a little research on this, they literally had Bill Gates himself making a push to be like, everybody get into Windows, because we got Doom and we got Quake.
Yeah.
Look at it, man.
Windows 95 was great. Do you remember Windows 3.1? Oh my god, that was unusable.
Oh, stop. You're quoting Ready Player One now, are you?
I'm not. No. If I were quoting Ready Player One, I would refer to it as, you remember the classic Windows 3.1?
Oh, yeah. Because
everything's fucking classic in that book. Jesus.
Okay.
Uses classic to say something that
I find it funny that he's bashing it based on a podcast they listen to instead of actually reading the book and bashing it.
No, they
first-hand knowledge.
They drag passages from the book.
That's just broken passages for a couple of moments. I mean, you can take the same thing what I do with Star Wars. I tore apart... what was that one, that fucking one that just came out?
A New Hope?
The first one. The New Hope Part 2.
Yeah, he hates that one.
Yeah, The New Hope Part 2. But, you know...
Wait, are you saying you're coming around to that movie?
No. I changed my viewpoint on it because...
It sounds like you're coming around
seriously. I took it too seriously. It's... it's fine.
Okay.
But still. Okay. Like, it's... I've been derailed now. Fuck.
But no.
This is why I don't argue with people, because I fucking suck at it.
That is
you don't have a room of people waiting to applaud you?
Where are they? Anyways.
You're stepping back from the ledge in the same way that you should step back from the ledge.
Yeah.
And just learn to fucking appreciate
it's
Ready Player One.
That's
a love letter to nerdy shit. And we
don't
are fucking nerds.
It's a love letter to himself because he knows about nerdy shit.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't like Rush, but he doesn't say that Rush is the greatest fucking... Well, I think maybe he does actually say Rush is the greatest band. But that's just because the creator of the Nexus, or what is it, the Oasis. Loves Rush.
Hathaway? Hatterberg?
Yeah. It's I don't know. Anyway, we talked about the macro
it's
stuff.
It's fun. Stop taking it seriously.
Yeah, I think that they lambast and make fun of everything, man. Like, I loved when they trashed Alien, and I think Alien is, like, maybe one of my 10 favorite movies.
Hmm.
Like, but it's funny to hear them make fun of it. If all you took was, you know, Mike Nelson's word on the content of it, you would think Alien was a shit film. But it's not. You know, it's like, he does that. Like, that's just kind of what he does. He's very, very good at noticing the stitching that takes you out of being in a movie. He breaks the fourth wall for you.
Hmm.
Constantly. And, like, and it's funny, and I love that he does it. And I'm enjoying the same podcast, and I enjoy Ready Player One, both the film and the book. Like, just
zero interest.
Just saying.
All right. Zero interest.
You know,
Doom 64 is something.
I'm gonna make you sit through this movie.
You're not.
It's gonna come to DVD. We're going to experience this together. It's gonna be fantastic.
I will not. No,
yep,
I refuse.
We're doing this.
I'm a content substandard.
How much
point.
Do I need to pay you for this?
How much?
Because I know you are for sale.
$800.
That seems extreme.
Is that what Good Old Games is paying you?
All right, Doom is a game.
Doom 64. Yeah, where were we?
You derailed so much this pod.
All right, yeah. So Doom 64. For starters, like you said, this is not at all a port of Doom. This is its own brand new game, new levels, new characters, new weapons, all new.
How long are we into this podcast right now?
We're fine. Yeah.
35 minutes, we now finally got to Doom 64.
We were doing the macro, and now we're doing the micro.
We're getting into that.
Yeah, I just want it.
Okay, so...
Oh, it's so good.
What you will notice, it looks great. It looks really, really good, and that is because 3 years have passed since anyone laid their eyes on the original Doom. You know, it's been a long time, has gone by. And they have so much more detail everywhere. And by the way, like, I don't think we mentioned this yet. Like, I don't have a cartridge of this. I wasn't able to get one in time, so I simply cheated and got an emulator.
How dare you?
I know.
You fucker. You were complaining in the early bits of the show about piracy ruining this game.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's...
Oh, shit.
That's something that the PC struggles with. And, like, I mean, when I was a kid, I was, like, I was burning ROMed Dreamcast games. I had more burnt Dreamcast games than real games. This is just kind of what you do.
Like, I had, like, all those PS1 games on the one.
I didn't have money.
Yeah.
I just had a Dreamcast. So I was going to make this
Power Stone.
Yeah. No, like, it plays so much like Doom. It is all run and gun, in-your-face action.
Completely remappable controls.
Wonderful feature. Maybe the single best feature of this is that you can change the controls to fit your scheme however you like.
Yeah, which is great, because... Mm-hmm. One of the things we complained about with another first-person shooter on the system is the totally unwieldy controls. Just made absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm. What this,
is,
like,
this is a turret? Are we talking
it
about
is
a turret.
Yes.
The other thing is, like, you'll notice that, I mean, if you actually play the game is so dark, incredibly dark. Not in the content, but just in the literal colors on the screen.
Yeah.
You need to absolutely turn up to max brightness, and then maybe on your TV itself, if you can, kick the brightness up a few notches. The game is so fucking dark.
Hmm.
And it's not like it's using negative dark space like, say, a game like Diablo would, where it's like light radius is important. The game is just simply dark. It is just everything. So lighting is very important just because you can actually see things. They have, I think, 5 difficulties that basically range from turning it into a platform runner to turning it into a survival horror meat grinder.
Yeah. I think one of the difficulty modes is watch me die.
Yeah. Ammo capacity is so bad. Especially when you just simply have a lot of stuff to kill. And on top of that, what's nice is that, and I have a list if you actually want to go down these
tracks. Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
I have a list of enemies and weapons because they all kind of move together very fluidly. When you encounter new enemies, it usually means you're stocking up on the ammo for a lot of the more powerful weapons. So it's not a role-playing thing, but your enemies get tougher, but so do you, mm-hmm. as long as you are still improving your mechanics as you play the game. So, your weapons are the chainsaw, of course, and you get the sweet double chainsaw.
Oh.
Because, yeah, you know, why not?
Oh, so you have two... Oh, dear God.
Yeah. You have the pistol, which is just a standard, you know, weapon. Shotgun. Super shotgun. Super shotgun's amazing. Really, really powerful.
What makes a super shotgun... opposed to a shotgun. Is it a shotgun that's taped to another shotgun?
No, it's standard Doom and standard Quake. It's a single barrel or a double barrel shotgun. And so, like, your single barrel shotgun is just like bam, kind of bam, bam. Has a mid-tempo pace in the fire. Super shotgun, 2 shells at once. So just a big punch in the gut of damage if something's really close to you.
But it's going to... Is it?
But then it pops open, 2 new shells, bang. So, slower tempo on the fire, an unreal amount of damage. A burst damage just, like, right in front of you. Then you got the chain gun, and the chain gun is the absolute other end of that. Super accurate, long range, takes a few seconds, but when it goes through, it starts chewing up ammo. It's just, it's not a real gun, it's a chain gun, just eats ammo.
Yeah.
So you can, again, that's like, if you're not very good at conserving ammo, when you just like to spray and pray, you're gonna hurt yourself.
It's a Gatling gun.
Yeah,
like Jesse Ventura had in Predator.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at me, I'm like Ready Player One already.
I know. But you didn't say it was the classic though.
Oh, the classic! Damn it! The classic.
People are probably thinking of the Adrian Brody movie, which by the time they write that book will be also considered a classic. So you get the rocket launcher, which is iconic. It's you know, it's the
classic.
Yeah, it's the mushroom to Mario is the rocket launcher to all of these it games. You have the plasma gun, which is, again, that sneaky one where it's like it shoots these little slow orbs of blue light hit stuff. You have the BFG, which is a fan favorite. It's just a huge concussive burst of damage. It's like a grenade launcher that just doesn't have a grenade drop on it. It just keeps going until it hits what it hits.
Okay.
Huge, huge damage output. And then the laser, which looks so pathetic in the game. It's easily the worst looking laser that any of these games have ever had. It's like a sniper rifle as your laser.
Okay.
But it's like this little like pew, like cute little, like one of those like little laser pointer things it almost feels like. But again, it, like maybe like the laser, think about the laser from Contra 3. how powerful it can be in the right scenario. Like, it's kind of like that. It can be very, very strong. And your enemies, conversely, and this is not an exhaustive list of the enemies, it is just sort of like a natural progression of it. You have the zombies, which is just standard. These are the guys that were at the...
Yeah, it's your fodder.
It's a research facility. It's the place where you start on one of the moons of Mars. And then you have the shotgun guys, which are, again, more zombies. And I think they are literally called shotgun guys.
I think you're right, because I think that was a fake or real that we did once. It was a Doom or Quake. Hmm. And I listed enemies, and you guys had to guess if it was from Doom or Quake. Yep. Yeah, shotgun guys is something.
again, they're dangerous up close, but keep them at distance and just, you know, poke them with a pistol and you're going to be fine. That sounded sexual. I didn't mean it sexually. Next is the imps. And the imps are, you probably know them, the big, like, brownish dudes that hulk around and they'll
slap
at you if you're close, or they'll shoot the fireballs if you're far away.
Yeah, kind of big and burly.
Yeah, kind of standard.
That's kind of a funny name, because imps are typically, like, little demon guys or, like, jumping around and mischievous.
True.
Well, here's the thing. Compared to the end of the list, they are little wimpy dudes. Oh. They're tiny. They're just your size, meaning you're inherently an imp. You're a human imp, or whatever that would be.
Okay.
Then you have the demons. And the demons are actually those big... they got, like, two legs. They look like bulldogs, almost. They're, like, all mouth. They're huge. They don't have a projectile, but if you get near them, they're going to hurt you very, very badly. Then you have the Lost Soul. Lost Soul is that iconic, like, character that always hovers around and shoots fireballs at you.
It looks like a skull on fire.
Yep. You have the Hell Knight. Hell Knights you will also find in Quake, which is cool. And the Hell Knights are sort of, like, even more deadly demons. They play a lot like the demon in that they also have that. And they have that, like, crazy hand thing, which is pretty cool. And then lastly...
lobster claw on their hand?
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have, like, if you remember the character design, it's sort of like it's got this mechanical part of a hand that shoots stuff.
Hmm.
If you see a picture of it, I'm sure you will instantly recognize it. And lastly is the Cyber Demon. I like that it's just simply called the Cyber Demon. But it is the huge guy with his literally his guts hanging out, kind of here.
Gross.
Because, like, there's no skin over his stomach. And it's got the big goat horns. Just a terrifying looking thing. Just absolutely awful. And that kind of rounds out what I have written. There's half a dozen other...
The Cyber Demon looks like the Hell Knight, except it's got, like, this big metal
gun
thing.
And then that's the thing. I think it's supposed to be, like, a progression of, like, the zombies are the imps, which become the demons, which become the Hell Knights, which become the Cyber Demons. Like, it's just sort of this, like, continually more awesome looking evil things.
Okay.
And again, very demonic. I can understand why children shouldn't be playing this game.
Sure.
You know,
I like how the demons and the cyber demons kind of have, like, something missing from their stomach. So
that's
it kind of looks like where Krang should go.
Yeah, it's like exposed guts. Yeah.
Like Krang needs to be in there.
From the classic 80s cartoon Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah, of course. Cowabunga. Pizza time.
Fist bump.
Glamours, look at that.
It's Wonder Twins.
Yeah, we're our fault.
So, one other thing that I wanted to just briefly discuss, or briefly mention.
Oh, yeah,
go ahead. A vastly different soundtrack.
Yes.
Than
the soundtrack is wonderful here.
Yeah, very much more toned down. Because
it's actually really good ambient environmental sound.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, even Quake has a much different soundtrack than Doom, because Doom is like, they're guys in studios, like, ripping guitar riffs over it. And then you get to Quake, which is, of course, Trent Reznor's vision of it. And it's all this, like, brooding industrial. This isn't even that. It's not even trying to be anything resembling pop music, which that is. Industrial is pop music. Guitar rock is pop music. This is not pop music. It is just ambient environmental sound.
Yeah.
Which I love. It is what games do now. You'll notice a lot of games nowadays don't have the oppressive scores that they used to. Or if you do have a score, it is your loading screens or simply the intro music or whatever. And when you get into a game, for the most part, a lot of it is just, you know, the fact that sound can be so detailed, where it's literally just like the chirping birds and trees or whatever. It creates a more immersive environment. And I think that's what makes Doom 64 interesting, is that, and, like, when I have been playing, I've been playing with my shells very loud, and I'm just soaking in the sound. Wonderful. It's very forward-thinking in that regard.
So. And it sets such a great tone, because because the game isn't necessarily... like the sort of run-and-gun shooter that other first-person shooters might become.
Yeah.
There are certain things that you do in the game where, you know, it's necessary to explore the environment and find, like, the switch to hit that opens up a door, that kind of thing.
That's really how not convoluted it is, too. It literally is just switches and doors. Mm-hmm. It's not keys. It's not pushing objects or unlocking pads or timing things. It's just make sure you don't die until you can get to that switch and then go to that door and then watch out, you're going to die. Like, you kind of, like, I love the simplicity of a game like this.
There's a couple other technical things that I remember about the game. There's, of course, on-cartridge saves. There's also a password system.
Yeah.
They have both for some reason. I'm not sure why.
Maybe if maybe someone gives you a good code where it's like, I've got all the weapons, and I'm right at the end.
Anyway. Yeah. Kind of a way to put in a cheat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we already talked about the remappable controls, so yeah.
I think we're kind of getting to the end of it. I mean, that's really the main things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so...
The bad sales, which I think is just kind of sad. You know, how the game is... Should be remembered more for its iconic genre-building nature than maybe for literally what it is directly.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing this one on the list of the 45 N64 games that sold a million. Which is a shame, because it's really the only notable release for the month of April in 1997.
Mm-hmm. And again, you're fucking stuck in this cluster of first-person shooters.
Yeah.
It was the new thing. It was a trend. People really loved it. So that's why this is where it is. Maybe like MOBAs are now or something. I don't know. MOBAs have been around for a long time, but I feel like there's...
Oh, Battle Royales.
Oh, yeah. That's the big thing right now. Like Fortnite or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone's obsessed with it. So, you know, maybe in, I don't know. How many 20 years people are going to be like, oh, I remember when Fortnite was a thing? The classic Fortnite.
There's one, and the name totally escapes me right now. There's one that just shut down because of a low user base. And maybe that's the game that one day we'll go and be like, hey, remember that game that was totally steamrolled by Fortnite, but it was much better?
Mm-hmm.
It was, someone will write their...
Was it Battletoads?
Yeah, it must have been Battletoads.
Was it the Battletoads Battle Royale?
It must have been... The classic Super Nintendo game, Battletoads and Double Dragon.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So where does this game go? Doom 64.
My personal opinion, I would slide this guy. And again, I'm very starry eyed about this too.
Above Blast Corps, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
In my personal opinion.
I mean, I don't have after Mario Kart 64, yeah. I don't have. Like, super strong feelings about any of them other than that.
I think it would be three, for me, is my opinion, is a good place. This is a wonderful game. I think it's sadly overlooked. I don't know. It's fun.
I think I could...
The second that I was aware that this wasn't just a Doom port, I was so pumped.
I can live with it above Blast Corps, because Blast Corps does have those missions where you have to drift into buildings, and that was just such a terrible mechanic that they should have just cut. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So it's under Mario Kart?
Mario 64.
Mario 64, Doom,
Blast Corps,
Mario Kart. Okay.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
And we are, again, 3 months into this thing or whatever. How many months are we in now?
Six months, yeah.
There will be better games to come along. I don't think Doom 64 is the second best.
But you know,
Jet Force Gemini. Yeah.
I'm nervous about that one.
I am super nervous about that one. We're going to be slotting in, I can only presume we're going to be slotting in another first-person shooter within the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Above it, so.
I think the one you might have been talking about, the fighting game, might be War Gods. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, that is one of them, yes. War Gods came out, too. I'm going to look it up real quick if you can just...
Because next month, War Gods from Midway and Hexen, which was published by GT Interactive, are on tap.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Rift, maybe?
Oh, that's it. Dark Rift. That's like Near Dark. It's Dark Rift. That is a fighting game.
That one's in June. But those are the three games that we got coming out over the next 2 months. That's it for the N64. But, you know, once we get to July, we got Star Fox.
Oh, that's right. Star Fox is coming out.
Yeah.
You got a Tetris game. There was a Mahjong game in here I actually saw. I know it's a joke, but we have to play a Mahjong game at some point.
I do not.
We have to. You take the left side of the controller, I got the right.
Oh,
right,
GoldenEye came out a day before my birthday.
Oh. How about that?
I didn't know that.
Your birthday's in August?
Yes.
All right, well...
You fucker.
We're just kind of rambling here. But next month, I do not have a copy of neither War Gods nor Hexen. Do you have? Hexen?
I ordered a copy a couple days ago, so it should be in my mailbox before I know it.
Alright, I'll see what how much a copy of War Gods is going for. So
I was even looking back, like, is there really something we should be talking about here? And I'm like, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire is notoriously glitchy. Cruise in USA is just like, why would we talk about, what's to talk about there?
Yeah, see, that's one that I had on the list. Like, there have been 13 releases on the system so far. We're only going to rank what we're talking about. We're not going to rank Cruise in USA because I have no desire to play Cruise in USA.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, if you ever went to CC's Pizza, you played it in their little arcade.
Right, and so. I'm sure the arcade version is the superior version of that one. Yeah.
But Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey, come on, man.
Anyway.
There's a lot of hockey games, though.
Yeah, there are a
it's
lot.
True. There, we're getting to the point where we're going to see a lot of sports games as well. Mm-hmm. I was looking up Doom 64 really quick. You can get a used copy of Doom 64 on the best site in the world, Amazon, for about $20.
Any bet.
The classic website.
And you got and you got a copy of Hex and you're headed your way, right?
Yeah, I paid about $12 for it.
Yeah, I would say that's about what it's going for. I'm gonna just take a look at War Gods real quick. Kind of.
I mean, if you want to, like, I'm fine with 2D fighters. If you guys want me to take you to school,
I'm looking forward to losing at this game. Yes. Oh, okay. Look, there are people selling this game for $1.50.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's gonna be.
Oh, Japan got Derby Stallion and we didn't.
Oh no. Anyway, all right. So you know, we'll have some good stuff to talk about next month as well. So,
yep.
Anything else?
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about some sports?
Sure.
Okay.
So this is like the sportiest time of the year. Right
well,
now.
What we'll do is I'll post some off topic, some sports stuff as an after dark. So okay. we'll close out this show and then we'll just keep going and post as a separate download.
All right, sounds good to me.
So next up is going to be the After Dark, but after that, we'll wrap up the month with the official show.
Where things get sexy.
Yep.
And Wes gets racist. Oh, that's all the time.
Yeah. Till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.